The breeze was blowing. He got up and said, "Peace be still." And they said, "What manner of man is this?" Those days when we're young, we take all those testimonies and we will look. When the breeze wants to start, you go outside. "Oh yeah, breeze, stop. Breeze will blow you down." Say, waiting, they worry you. You wonder, like, what's going on here? Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that the testimony of scripture is not true. No, no. It just means that you need to grow in grace to be able to experience some things. Anything you have to do that, maybe it will work, maybe it won't work. You never reach that level. When the Bible talks about that, when you talk about gifts, extending your gift accordingly, in proportion to your faith, what it means is that you do things that you are persuaded about and you are confident you can handle. The way Jesus raised Lazarus, that thing, every day, I still pray about it. Too. I meditate about it. I look at the lives of some men that God's power manifested so much through. Because it was with confidence he told the disciples days before they reached the place. So let us go and raise him up. Our friend Lazarus has died. And it's good for you that I was not there. Because Lazarus will live again. Let's go. When Mary saw him, and also Martha, he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." I wish you get the point. He wasn't confessing. I don't know whether I get my point. You know what I mean by confessing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm the resurrection. It's a good thing. You are trying to persuade yourself. You are not sure yet. It's good. It's good. It's good exercise. It's called meditate. Do you understand my point? Jesus wasn't doing that. When he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," like, you come to me. He said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "No, do like." He said, "How are you sure?" Let me give an example. I was in the barber salon one day. One woman, she was asking the barber, "What do I do about this thing on my son's head?" She had a lot of what do you call it in English? I don't know. We call it tina capitis anyway, medicine. All right, she had this thing all over the head. So as the barber, I just stopped her. I said, "Madam, number one, I gave her some tips. Don't worry about this. It doesn't harm the child. Don't kill the child. It takes time to go, no matter how effective your treatment." I said, "Now this is what you are going to do." I gave her some simple tips and some cheap drugs to use, and I think it will take the time to clear. And she looked at me and said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a doctor." Is it a confession? It's a matter of fact. I am the resurrection. It's not like I'm just telling you why Lazarus will wake up. It's not. I'm not confessing that I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Just watch. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lazarus is about to come out. Right now. I'm going to call his name. Just watch. You are trying to convince yourself. Do you understand my point? You are not yet spiritual. Do you understand the logic there? When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection," it was a statement of fact. And I'm saying this so that that's what Paul meant. Paul read all those things to say, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But you know what he was saying? He too will read that thing and say, yeah. I don't know whether I get the point. And what I'm explaining that, look, there are things for believers to do. There are things for believers to do. One of the things we must, you know, let me just begin to stop. I'll continue next time, all right? We didn't read that Hebrews chapter 4 again. We'll read that one day, shall we? We'll go read that. One of the things, anyway, what I wanted to say is that, please, Christians, I want us to have a quest. Do you get my point? In our hearts. That's my own. There's a laziness that has pervaded, you know, it's all over the Church of Christ today. I call it laziness. They don't know it's laziness. Christians don't know it's laziness. Everything. My pastor said, according to pastor, Papa said, Papa, Bishop said, Bishop, if the man doesn't say, look, it's okay when you're a baby. Are you getting my point? But, bros, you get to grow. Are you getting my point? You have to grow. Men, all right? Sons of God, they grow in, children of God grow into sonship. We must grow. Let's not just be content. Are you getting my point? The only way you grow, there are two things to it. Well, let me just put three things. The word of God, prayer, and hardship. You will face hardship in life. The sufferings that walk eternal weight of glory. Affliction, they walk what? Glory. There are people who are about to resign jobs. You just got answer. God said, don't resign. You see, your problem is the money they are paying you. Take it for another 1 year. I can't afford many things. Don't you eat? I've given you a nice landlord. Share the money into two. Half of it, your brother will use that one to go to school. He will live better than you are living right now as a student. Don't worry about it. It's your lot in life. For the next 1 year, you will endure hardship. 500 naira card a month is what I'm allowing you to buy. Your recharge card. Any call you want to make after that, pay 15 naira by the roadside. I'm telling you. Listen. You Christians are not supposed to just looking for where everything is rosy. You will endure hardship. You must do what? Endure hardship. Olayinka and I were talking the other day. He made some statements. We discussed, I don't know, it was last Saturday or the Saturday before. Anyway, by a week ago, or a little more than that. Describing people that God has blessed materially now. And he said, you had better enjoy this season of poverty. Because a time will come, you will beg for lack, you won't find. Did you hear what I said? You think, is it possible? It will happen to you one day. You will be looking for, how can a man be broke, self? Okay, I want to trek. Let me trek, John. Waiting. You'll be tired of air-conditioned cars. As they now see you walking from your house. Daddy, where are you going? What is wrong? I just want to walk. No, sir. Please, enter here. Enter where? I have 15 cars at my disposal anytime I want. I want to walk. Every building after the 10 cars go, they stop. They go, hey, stop. Good afternoon, sir. Please, sir, where are you going? Enter, let us carry you. People, let me trek now. It will happen to you one day. It will happen to you one day. You will beg for poverty, you won't see it. You won't be looking for the opportunity to pray that God will give you rice. God said, which rice? By the time you turn like this, 15 bags, you turn to this, and this is a gift too. It's Christmas. You know the way we finish rich men? During Christmas, we finish them. Everybody is falling over themselves to give them something. That's why when you want to give people things in Christmas, share it to. There are some poor people who are begging, waiting for one. Nobody has been remembering you too. So don't worry. It's a season. Don't whine, don't complain. Endure it. Endure it with the word of God and with prayer. You are growing. A time will come when you will call rice and it will be raining like manna. You just say, there's this kind of long rice I saw the other day. You don't know, three people heard it. Like the men of David, they will go to the market and say, please, where's the new long rice that came to town? This one is buying 2 bags, that one is buying 4 bags. By the time you come back at night, they say, wait, who carried back come here? They said they heard he wanted this kind of rice, so they all went to buy it. Hey, meanwhile, you have money. After you'll be begging for poverty, you won't see. So what I'm saying is that God has given you the privilege to experience it now, something that you will beg for one day you won't see again. So enjoy while it lasts. It sounds funny, but I'm telling you the truth. What would I say? Christians must grow. You know, I said that there are three things. The word of God, prayer, all right? And the ability to endure hardship. Is that okay? But you must, listen, Christians, we must reach out for things. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? You should have the quest to grow in grace. Stop, you know, Christians are so content with, you know, our papa said, you know, and they'll be quoting it all the time, foolishness. When are you going to be the papa to silver somebody else? The people will be running up and down looking for anointing. Anointing in their household. They are running up and down. I said, I'm not saying these are bad things. I'm saying you must grow. Do you get my point? One day a man asked me, he was describing something. He said, now please try and understand what I'm saying. He said, you know where the dungeon camp is? I said, yes. He said, you have been to camp before? Just something was, we were talking. I said, well, I pass by there when I'm traveling. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, I've never been to redemption camp. It was like, we're having this question around 1996. He said, that was 96, like, how many years ago now? That's 14 years ago, right? Yes. He said, you have never entered camp? I said, no, never went to redemption camp. You know what he said to me? He said, this boy, I've always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. I didn't know. I started laughing. He looked at me. Like, what? How can a Christian have not gone to the Asian Cup? I said, they don't do anything there that interests me. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I said, they don't teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's no word there. Do you get my point? But you know, instruction, there's a kind of instruction I listened. I said, it's not bad. I can watch it on TV, but I'm not going to leave what I have to do now to go to camp. It's not a bad thing. I hope you get what I'm saying. No? It's not a bad thing. But I said, Banky does. And you know, point that I never thought about it until that day, until he told me it was a sign of bad Christianity. And all I could do was laugh. There are those who will say that the 2010 will not be good except they open it in camp. You did, Chris. So those who are in Brazil, what is going to happen to them? No, the Christians in Malawi, what would they do now? Christians. To me, all those things, a lot of times, the act of laziness. You are afraid to take your own destiny in your hands and get into a corner and discover God for yourself. You are afraid. You want to blame somebody's anointing if it doesn't work. It's not your faith. It's anointing. The oil, it was not the day early that morning. You want to blame somebody else. Believe me, I think Christians should have a quest driving them in their hearts to want to know God personally. The time should come to an end where you pray in three names, in two names. The name of Jesus and the name of Pastor Bank, you know, that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? It should come to an end. It was okay when you were a baby. Name of Jesus, name of your bishop, you know, that kind of thing. It's okay when you were 2 months old. Oh boy, grow up. You hear what I said? And you know how Christians grow? They eat correct diet. What did I say? They eat correct diet. They don't just sit down and enjoy to be ministered to all their lives. They say, me too, I must become a minister. Do you get my point? I'll be the one pouring forth life into people. That this water I'll give them to drink, it will be inside them, springing up to what? Eternal life. It's coming from inside them and producing effect outside. What am I going to say? Look, you should have a drive to know God, to be able to give answers, to be able to make decisions and help those who are younger than you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, growing in grace is, let me use the word, is a commandment in Christianity. You must eat good diet. Growing is automatic if you are eating the correct diet. That's the way it goes. And that's where you put your effort into. The eating of the right words, the eating of the right manner, the eating of the right nutrients. I think Christians, you know, when I see Christians, they say, you know what, enter by the narrow gate. No, we don't like it. It's too difficult. We like the broad gate. My friend said in there, is our church now? It's just a church of declaration. And believers are like that. Lazy people. They just want declaration. Here, he says, Pastor Utai, I'm reading from Psalm 17. Hear just cause, oh Lord. This year, God, we hear your just cause. Amen. And give heed to my cry. Everybody sitting here, your cry will be heard. Amen. Give ear to my prayer. God will give ear to your prayer. That's how the man finished reading, you know, lazily preaching to you for 17, you know, for 30 minutes. You're happy you have gone to church. When devil wakes up tomorrow and beats you properly, you will understand. You'll be wondering why. Because the devil knows you have not eaten anything. You're hungry. Spiritually, as you walk out, you stagger. He can see it. Yeah, no substance. Nothing inside your soul. You know, I've been to church before that all people are waiting for. In fact, my friend used to go to Redemption Camp. He said some people come there. Eh? They will say, please, when Papa wants to start praying, wake me up. They will lay their mat. After cooking beans. You come to camp to cook beans. Eating. They pack everything. Now tell their neighbor, please, when Papa wants to start praying, you wake me up. All the word that some people will teach, they don't hear it. All these special songs, they won't hear it. Any other thing they don't hear, then when Papa says, somebody shout, wake up, Papa, don't come, Papa, don't come. God is going to do something great for somebody before the man finishes saying it. The amen will start from Taraba State. You know what they call Mexican wave? Ooh, eh, oh, yeah. When I look at people like that, sometimes that's the Jew, I pity him. That even if you want to speak deep words, these people, they won't let him talk it. Pressure, multitude. Jesus did not like multitude. He used to tell them a few stories and drive them away. So I went for to sow. Eh? Some fell by the wayside. Ooh. Meanwhile, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they are getting angry. And then the birds of the air came up. Birds of the air. Hey, birds of the air. Just looking at them. Afterwards, they all go away and say, my God, that guy can rhyme. Did you notice the way the word rhymed? The sower went for to sow, and some fell. Aye, kakabalagadaba. Word. Meanwhile, those who came for substance, they came and said, Master, what was that? You know what Jesus said? They are blind people. They don't know anything. He said, to you has been given to know. He said, to those ones, only will they give a gist. It's you that call it parable now. It was gist. Stories. To excite them and make them happy. So you came for excitement, nothing spoiled. Multiply bread. Multiply bread. Heal this. Go, don't, just go away. Those who wanted to know were impatient. Peter was looking like, what's all of this? He said, John, so I went for to sow. John said, I don't know. You don't come again. So unfair by the wayside. Which wayside? I can just imagine that John, Peter, and John look at each other and say, which wayside? This man don't begin testing. Some things are not true. Where did you see any sower anyway? I don't know for Ramu. I don't know. They say, what was that? He now said, he said, don't be angry, boys. He said, to you has been given to know. Those are the people who, after the multitude had dispersed, they went. I said, Master, please, that gist there, I don't get the point. What were you talking about? So I went to, so where? He said, let me explain. Then Jesus now began to explain and open truths and teach them openly. A lot of Christians who go around just looking for stories that excite the flesh. God knows, the preacher knows, you're not looking for anything important. That's why he gives you a 15-minute sermon on a Sunday morning and everybody's happy. Now, story you want now. I was in Malawi last week. And as the plane was flying, I just knew that something great was about to happen. Who would receive something great today? Amen! I thought I shared the grace in fellowship. They have all gone. Look, listen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You don't need someone just be prophesying over your head alone. It has its place. Are you getting my point? It has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. But you must have the desire to know God and not just to be excited. You must have the desire to get, no, Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That power of resurrection for me is what we should all be. I mean, like, you read stories somewhere, say, God, this is what my life should be. And listen to me, grace is released as a result of growth. The higher you grow, the more grace you can accept and you can hold in your life. One of the reasons why God has not made a lot of us, young people, in quote, prosperous, is because this is the time to grow spiritually so you can carry abundant prosperity. Because if he gives you now, you will die. Do you know what I mean? Physical, literal death. And there's never idle time in Christianity. I'm a living witness of the fact that there's never idle time. 1993, I finished my youth service as a young medical doctor. Let me summarize it. And I came to Lagos. Something drove me to Lagos. It was the way God, I hated that city as a person. You can imagine how hectic Lagos is now that Fashola is governor. Imagine what it was before he became governor. So I did not like it. But God led me there through an interesting, you know, manner. And for the next 9 months or so, I did not walk. I tried to walk. I didn't find. But just to fulfill this principle, I'm telling you that there's no idle time in Christianity. God said, I have given you work, except that it does not pay money. Your assignment for now is take a Bible and start reading. My brethren, I studied. I did. Every little money I get, I buy tapes and books. From one day I saw poster, Ron Kenoly, this and they are coming, School of Ministry, everything, convention, Victory Christian Center, I ran there. I would go in the morning and stay till night. I had nowhere else to go. During the break, it was too far away. I would just hang around the premises. I hardly had money to even buy snacks. From there, I would see one poster. I know, it's very funny. I was JJC in Lagos. I would ask my cousin's driver, please. I will copy. I'm passing on the road. I see a poster. I will copy the address and come home and say, "Hey, please, I want to go to this place. How do we get there? Go from here, take a bus through here, go here, go here, go here." I will be getting back home. This is JJC in Lagos at 11 p.m. I do a fair share of trekking. JJC. My brethren, I was busy. I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone. Bishop doesn't teach anymore. If he's not listening to Bishop, you didn't catch him at the proper time. You know, I told you, multitude, they dilute anointing. Multitude. Wicked souls. They dilute anointing. Should have known Bishop when I knew him. 2.5 hours ministration at the go. Deep teachings of the Word of God. I listened to Bishop until one day I laughed. My friend, Uche Igboko, he just left 2 days ago. He was in Nigeria again. He said, look at him. He's laughing like Bishop. I didn't know. Is it book? I will go to a bookshop, check what I had in my pocket, calculate the distance. I can track the distance now. I'll use everything to buy a book. Track the rest of the way home. Yes, I wasn't going to clinic and talking to sick people, but I was walking. I was walking. What am I going to explain? In the season you are in right now, the great things you want have not come. That's because God knows that they take a lot of time. And he said, you need time now to go for Bible studies. You need time right now to read. You need time now to pray the kind of prayer that twists the tongue. They never agree to marry you. Yeah, there's a reason for it. So that when you wake up at night, it's only you. Are you getting the principle? You don't propose to 6 people. All of that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Keep on proposing. I'm not saying you should stop. Just continue. The propositions. Continue. But you don't go to jail until the time is ripe for you to really... Do you get what I'm saying? But until that time, Ross, get busy doing something, you know, with the Word of God. That's why God gave you the time. Labor, that's what we wanted to read, to enter into that rest. Because anyone that enters the rest will have ceased from his own works. That's what I want to preach next. Let us pray.